The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. Music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, happening September 9th to the 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to get all of your tickets for the events, and we definitely appreciate you getting tickets ahead of time. It means a lot to the performers, a lot to the venues, and I'm here with a couple guests. Guests, why don't you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, so I'm Matic, the Young Lion of the West, one of the head coaches at Ground Zero, our wrestling school.
I'm Chris Worthless. I also am a coach at Ground Zero. I also head up Wild Zero, which is like a, I guess, kind of a sister brand, kind of its own thing. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like the big brother, the wrestling promotion.
Yeah. And that's awesome. And so the Ground Zero and Wild Zero combo has a pair of shows on September 13th. At 6 p.m. and September 14th at 3 p.m. at the School of the Arts. What a fascinating venue to do this. And one, like, it's an important venue and it's an important place for Rochester for all the different things it offers to the students and different dynamic classes, but a great venue and a great way to support, you know, a school that's part of the city.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hey, we're excited to be there. We're excited to be part of Fringe Fest this year and bring our, you know, both our brands in a collaborative effort and bring on a cool show for you guys.
I was really excited with how excited the School of the Arts was to have us, too, because, like, we had a few places that shown some interest and, like, that would have been okay, and they were super supportive, but School of the Arts was just, they were so cool. They helped us out a bunch and, like, showed us around and like really made us feel comfortable there. So,
well, it's a fascinating part of the whole process of booking a Fringe show is that you're just, hey, you're throwing it out there to all the different venues and just seeing the different kinds of interest. Like our podcast network, we wanted to do a show and we threw it out there and we got different places and like, that would be interesting, but I'm not sure it's the show we want to do this time. But maybe next time we'd want to do it in that venue. We're doing ours at like the downtown branch of the public library.
Oh, that's cool.
For like a free show. We're doing more of like an improv ranking podcast thing where the hosts don't know what they're talking about till they start.
Nice.
But like we wanted to try it out. And I love that you guys are doing this because one, you know, I love what you're doing locally. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, yep, let's book this. I want to talk about it. And I also love that it's part of Fringe because this is so many different styles of performing. And I love that they're getting to see like, oh yeah, this is also performing. This is also a thing that, hey, people can go and have a great time with.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the first time wrestling has actually been part of the Fringe Fest too. So
yeah, I think so.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's ever been anywhere else, but I love that Erica and the team and all the venues are like, yeah, why not? Let's expand. Let's try something different.
Yeah, I was kind of worried that we were going to like put it out there and no one was going to be interested in it too. Cause like, you know, sometimes that happens. I've heard that happening in other markets, but not about wrestling, just stuff in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, we put it back and Matt got,
got quite
pretty
a few
quick.
Hits.
Yeah. And some of them just like we would look at them and the venue just wouldn't fit for some reason. Some of them just the times wouldn't work, you know, a bunch of little things, but everybody was super accommodating trying to get us in, which is weird because we can't do that.
School of the Arts actually moved us to the gymnasium for this event. So they actually made it a special for us, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so one, that's great. So again, the tickets are $20 on rochesterfringe.com. This is a great value to go to a full show that is like curated and really interesting. So let's talk about, first, let's talk about what this show is, and then we'll go into, you know, the promotions of what you guys are doing. Let's talk about this specific show that you're working on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we all got together once we knew we were doing the Fringe Fest, and we were kind of shooting out ideas of what we wanted to do, and once we knew it was two nights, we're like, man, we should just do a tournament.
Yeah, so, like, I've been wanting to do, like, a trios tournament for a little while. But that's a nightmare to logistically do.
For sure.
And then even like when we started talking about this one, like a bunch of the people, like there's another trios tournament going on the same weekend down in Pennsylvania. So I was like, oh, then like don't bother doing that. Like it's too much work. We might as well just do a tag tournament. And we so much easier to book. And it was just a really fun way because then was it Colin that throughout the idea?
Yeah. So Colin Delaney, one of our coaches, you know, Dunn and Marcos, the Ring Crew Express from Ring of Honor, like they're locals here and they've been like the tag team that everybody looks up to in this area, especially if you're starting out wrestling in Rochester. He came up with the idea that we do the Dunn and Marcos Cup. And, you know, it's pretty much just a 10-man tag team tournament honoring those guys. So we're pretty pumped about it, to be honest. And I think they're pretty excited about it as well.
Yeah, it was cool having them up. We had a little interview with them a couple days ago. That'll be out this weekend. That was just like, it was just fun sitting down and hearing them talk about it and like how just, you know, excited they were to be thought of, like real humble about it. And we're like, oh, this was like, you know, it was like a no thought. Like we were just like, oh yeah, that's exactly who we should.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that for a second. So naming, I mean, this is kind of a traditional thing. Like you're naming a cup, you're naming a, you know, a tournament after notable wrestlers, often who are like retired and everything. But when you're choosing, you know, those two, why those two, and what about their careers or their influence made you guys choose that?
Yeah, so I mean, Rochester wrestling has always been known for their tag teams. Rochester is a tag team town. The majority of the guys that have found success, not only on the indies, but like on TV, have come from tag teams. And I think that just comes from the lineage that from around here. Like if you break it down, the Carnage crew, who's also on the show, HC Loke and Tony DeVito, they have a huge hand in training some of the guys like Dunn and Marcos and Cheech and Cloudy, who are tag teams. And then Dunn and Marcos, who are Ring of Honor, they have a hand in training guys like Colin Delaney and Nick Ando, who are also part of this huge tournament. And you could just kind of trace it back, and it just kind of goes down the line. It goes from Dunn and Marcos to Colin and Cheech to us, you know, and then now we're training guys below us who are part of tag teams like Greed, who's also in this tournament. So I think it was just kind of a no-brainer to brand it as a tag team. And
yeah, I mean, it's funny because both me and Matt are both would always view ourselves as tag team wrestlers too. Like even like this is my first... Right now I'm uncomfortable because this is the first time I don't have a tag team. And I'm just like, so it's weird to be like, especially on a tag tournament, like being the, like one of the only singles matches and being like, oh, this feels really weird because I'm so accustomed to it. But yeah, like it's a lot of places complain, like they don't have, teams, like there aren't guys that travel together. And, so there's something special about that, but also it's just like, it's easy. Like having a tag team partner makes traveling easier. Mm-hmm. You have someone to go with, you have someone to ride with.
Someone to cut your costs with, for sure.
Yeah. And then like, it's funny because like when Wild Zero started, we didn't have a championship belt for a long time. We just went straight to tag championships.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So our first championships were straight up, our Golden Jackets were our first championship. Yeah, because
it's cool. They're not even titles. They're championship jackets.
I kind of love that. I mean, hey, let's bring the you know, the high auspices of the Masters right into tag team wrestling. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, and that's sort of like with Wild Zero, that's sort of a lot of the stuff that we try to do is we try to think. Matt's a much more traditionalist when it comes to that stuff. I like putting on airs, so to speak, like make things like feel a little more important and like in a different ways. So I think that's kind of, I don't know, what works well for a lot of our stuff, because sometimes I get out of pocket and I get, my ideas are way too lofty and Matt's like, just don't do that.
And yeah.
I mean, I've been there. Like that's my co-founder and I, Matt, my co-founder, like we are, you know, I'll always have these like high ideals and he's like, you know, both of us work full-time jobs and we also can't do this for 50 hours a week on top of this. I'm like, I know, but I really want to do it.
Yeah. I think that's definitely the pros and cons between our partnership. Like, yeah, we butt heads a lot, but I think, you know, we work well together when it comes down to it. Like, and it just gives a range of ideas, you know, like Chris has great, he's very creative and I love that. And I just try to rein him in with the more traditional aspect.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you're doing the Don Marcos Cup, the tag tournament.
Yep.
And I do love, you still have change of pace, right? You still have your singles, you still have other stuff. Cause this is a whole thought out show, not, this isn't just the tag tournament. Not that it's just, but like, hey, there's still change of pace to keep everybody interested and try to keep, you know, everybody engaged.
Well, also when we were going through and finding out who to invite to the tournament, that was the number one thing I put out there is like, we need to have different teams. Mm-hmm. So we ended up leaving out a bunch of people because, you know, we were trying to mix it up. So we were trying to take people like Main Event from New York City, from like a House of Glory kind of fame, who bring like a fun kind of luchador, like a much more like theatrical approach, next to like Carnage Crew, who's, you know, old, ECW, Ring of Honor, heritage. So it's we'd like to juxtapose as much as we can, bring in a good kind of mixed flavor. So it's not just a lot of the same teams, like the whole time, or the same show over and over.
Right. And then with the singles match aspect, like we're trying to divide it, like Wild Zero has crazy rules. And so we have the Ganjo division, which is like a heavyweight division, and Chris is wrestling in that. And then we have the championships also on the line. And then we also have a ladies match on night two. So,
oh, awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And it's like, that's part of the fun of, you know, hey, this is a whole show and you're getting in front of, you know, likely a different audience. Like what a great opportunity to be in front of an audience that might not already know about, you know, the independent scene in upstate New York, while, you know, you guys have been doing the work and training and everything. Like getting in front of a whole different fringe audience has to be kind of a great thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. We do pop-ups once in a while. And we did one at Lux recently that was outstanding, and it, you know, to kind of pat ourselves on the back, like we work super hard to appeal to a broader audience. Like my goal, like I don't want to put on, like Wild Zero is not for wrestling fans. Like that's kind of how, like the first day that, that my friend and I like sat on our couch and thought of the idea was, we want to make wrestling for the non-wrestling fan, because we really feel like everyone likes wrestling.
Yeah.
They just have to find the wrestling they like
for sure.
Mr. Iguana is out there.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, as, you know, somebody who has been an on and off fan for, you know, most of my life, I'm more in now than I have been in a long time. And it's been a delight to have, like, my wife, Carrie, get really into it. And yeah, some of the gimmicky stuff like that has hooked her. But also the, you know, the ability to have the talents really show off their character, their work, their truth telling through modern storytelling. Like the people that got her hooked were Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, right? You know, the people who came up through the indies and came up through doing these, you know, all these kind of shows. But she connected with them because they were telling stories that felt real.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, yes, it can be heightened. Yes, it can be real. It's for everybody. And that's kind of the blessing of where we are now. It's not just work rate. It's telling great stories.
Right.
And I know, you know, for everybody listening, this isn't a wrestling podcast, so I'm trying not to be
yeah.
too lingo-y, but like this, it's not just about how all the moves you can do. It really is a story that you're telling with the physicality, with being in the ring, and with your words too.
Yeah. It's an athletic soap opera, man.
Yeah. In the best possible way.
And the way that like Kevin Owens and like Steiner so good is, or Generico, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jeez. They're so good because not like they're really good storytellers in their matches too.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I like that that's becoming a more popular thing. They're not relying on so much outside production to make it good. They're really good at being able to get you emotionally invested in just picking, stopping and watching a match. And you're able to feel that. And that's, I don't know. It's something that we like to try to convince our, you know, our students to do more. But I think that that is, you know, the approach that will attract everyone. And a lot of times people get blinded by it and they just want to go create the same wrestling they've seen 1,000 times because it sure. feels good. And it's something you can make. And it's like a little bit easier. So I think like with this Dunham Marcos thing, I'm really excited to be able to put on an art show. Like
yeah.
We're really pushing these guys to go outside their norms and really kind of perform like, and tell like some interesting stories.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of cool. So, I do want to take a step back and talk about, you know, both of the promotions, you know, where's your territory, for lack of saying, and, you know, how everything works together. Cause I like that it's not a pure combative thing, right? There is a, you know, synchronousness between. So Maddox, so Ground Zero is Rochester based.
Yeah. Yeah. Ground Zero is Rochester based. Our intention honestly was never to run events. Ground Zero was always meant to be a school. But as we've grown and the opportunity came about, with the students that we had, it was kind of more like, hey, let's put on some student shows where we can actually like, showcase our students that are working hard in our school, you know? So that's kind of what Ground Zero has become. It's kind of the students being able to go out there in front of a live crowd instead of just practice matches in the gym, you know, and, you know, show what they've been working on. And that's kind of what we've been doing. And like Chris said before, I try to focus on more of the traditional aspect of professional wrestling. And that's, you know, that's more my style. That's what I like. So
yeah. And it's also like you're teaching them not just to do how to perform. It's about the safety. It's about, hey, treating yourself safely. It's treating your opponent safely. You are partners in this thing, regardless of your personal opinions about them or the words that you're saying about them. This is all about everybody's working together to delight the audience and sometimes infuriate the audience in the best possible way. And I love that you mentioned live crowds because like the events I've been to are live crowds too. They're not, it's not just a crowd that's sitting there. They are live. Like the last time I was there, the people behind us were just constantly chattering at the wrestlers. You know, they were taunting, the thing is, the captain, he was taunting the captain. You know, he's yelling at, the guy's name was Diamond or something Julio Diamante. Yeah. He was constantly taunting him. He's like, come on, you got to get after it. And it was just like, and it was so good. You know, being engaged, being in a hot crowd it changes the whole dynamic of the show.
It does. It really does. And it really makes our jobs a lot easier, right?
Yeah.
You know, if without that crowd interaction, that's kind of what makes wrestling too. It's not just the performance in the ring. It's the atmosphere.
Well, and it also changes like when you say they're in front of that crowd, learning how to control the crowd your actions and, you know, watching you, who's you are often, if not always, a heel, like pretty you much. Are going after the crowd. And when they engage, that's what, like, you can't be a great heel without annoying and antagonizing the crowd.
Right. Right. And that's kind of my job as the heel or the bad guy, so to speak. It's to get under the crowd's skin so they want the baby face or the good guy to overcome the odds.
Yeah. Know? And that's the thing is like giving the students a chance to be in front of a real audience. That's the other part that you can't just teach it in a school. You need to feel that, the feel the waves of how a crowd's reacting and change what you're doing to, you know, make it great.
For sure.
So on your side, on the Wild Zero side, tell me about the promotion.
So, Wild Zero started, so I just flew back from Germany, and I was just like, staying in New York for a couple of days with my friend, and we were just talking about how we can't find a lot of wrestling promotions throughout the country that we really enjoy. Like, we want something that's a little more casual, a little more like alternative. So we were just coming up with ideas of like something different that would, that we feel like that like college kids would want to go to on a Friday to hang out at.
Yeah.
So that's like, we just sat down and just started nailing that stuff out. And, you know, we started that way and we did pretty good with that in our first batch of stuff, but we were mostly, running out of Syracuse.
Okay.
And then,
long legacy of, you know, Syracuse promotions too.
For sure. I mean, people were mad at us for running in Syracuse, but it's like, nobody ran in Syracuse for 5 years. Like,
yeah,
we were like,
I'm pretty sure you asked permission.
I did. I hit up, I asked a lot. I was like,
and
hey,
you're not,
man,
stomping on the legacy. Like, no. It's like it was a hot thing. Like, again, my co-founder Matt is a long time traveling indie wrestling fan. Like, he was going, you know, driving to Chikara in Pennsylvania. Yep.
So Chikara is also probably the biggest, like one of the bigger influences in that too. Cause like when I was living in Pennsylvania, the old Wrestle Factory was across, like literally across the street from my house. So I met a bunch of the guys through that. And that was sort of like, that was always kind of to me, like what got me back into indie wrestling. So that's kind of like what I wanted to curate for everyone.
And just to take a step back, that was like through a certain time period, you know, the late aughts into the, you know, tens and that stuff. A lot of the wrestlers that people are seeing nowadays that came through the indies had spent time there or, you know, have guested there and done lots of things. This was a pretty influential on the, you know, under a certain size, it was a pretty influential promotion.
Yeah. I mean, they were, sometimes I think about the show, the people who I saw there, and it's just mind blowing. Like,
they're all on national TV pretty much right now.
Well, that's the other thing is like all of the younger guys too have been like the guys like who were the workers there too. I'm not even talking about the names that they brought in, but like they brought in some crazy names there. And like I said, that's stuff we tried to do. And we were doing pretty well until AEW popped up and sucked up all of our talent. And the best, like, I mean, I can't be mad.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, but literally like
Wait. You don't have Tony Khan's dad money? You don't have Shere Khan's money?
So I'm a little bit less than that. Like, I have my wife's money, but she makes a little bit less than he does.
She just got a doctorate, so you're doing well.
it's not a doctorate. Well, yeah, it's a doctorate. It's a PhD, okay. not an MD. So.
Yeah.
I wish it was an MD.
Yeah, different world.
Yeah. And then, so we just started doing that, and then we've slowly just started moving back into Rochester. We're not really based anywhere, so to speak. We just go where, you know, we think it's gonna fit and, you know, have fun.
Yeah. So when you're, you know, when you have, you know, a rough area, you know, rough geographic area, when you're looking at, say, hey, we've got stuff going on in Rochester, you know, we've got, you know, ostensibly Central and other areas. When you're looking at booking shows, like, it's, you know, there's always the opportunity for competition, but it seems like there's some harmony to work together on these things and not share talent, but work together to, hey, book better shows. That helps everybody.
Yeah, I think that was why we opened Ground Zero, too. We kind of wanted to create a different type of wrestling community than that was there before. You know, we kind of just wanted to collab with everybody and bring everybody together and kind of build those bridges. Like, we do studio tapings every month and we invite anybody from around the area to come and partake in those and get some reps in and meet people. Like, we got cars that come in from Canada, Ohio. We had somebody come from New York City last time. Like, it's a really cool thing, you know, to see.
Well, and also like the fact that anybody can go watch those on the Ground Zero YouTube channel. Yep. And you can watch, they're real matches. These aren't just practice. They're putting on real matches. They're telling stories. They're doing long-term work. Like, this is the stuff that you can watch and say, hey, you can watch it, and it's engaging too. It's a good watch.
To be honest, those kids sometimes go a little too hard, man, at those tapings. Yeah. And they put on these shows that are above and beyond, like, stuff that, like, they'll see, that you'll go to other shows and see. Like,
yeah, I love it, though. Some of the best matches I've seen, I swear to God, have happened under our school's roof.
Yeah. Just, like, from, if you talk about, like, there's, you know, like Matt said, there's 13 promotions in this between Buffalo to Rome, New York.
Is there really?
There's so many.
God, I didn't know there's that many. Yeah. I've been to a few, like, little, you know, smaller ones that popped up. I remember seeing my buddy do a tag match at a, you know, VFW in like Ontario or wherever it was. Yeah. You know, I drove out to that and like, hey, you know, I had a good old night.
Yeah. And the thing is, most of them are really good. Like, you know, there's two good ones in Rochester. There's Buffalo's got a couple of good ones. One up in Syracuse. I mean, and I feel bad. I'm not trying to leave anyone out, but I'm just saying, like, Excite. Like, there's a lot of good places, but a lot of them, you know, the talent pool is pretty homogenized.
Mm.
So that is, again, that's one of the big, my biggest focuses is trying to go outside that, bring in people from outside of that stuff. So like we would, you know, we got lucky knowing some people who were good when we first started. So like we had like Orange Cassidy on our first shows. We had Ultramantis Black on our first shows. We had guys that were just excited to come hang out with their friends from Chikara come to our show. So we were able to pull in like a bunch of really cool stuff and have really cool stuff that led us to doing a partnership with Beyond. And that's really where my idea of the idea of like collaborating instead of competing makes a lot more sense, because if there's, you know, like there's such a small talent pool, trying to have these people compete or make them want to wrestle for your place, but well, like, you know, you're mad at this other one. It's just, it's foolish for everyone. So
it's exhausting.
Yeah. We're lucky because we have a really good relationship with, you know, Buffalo, ESW and Excite. And, we're really able to kind of like share and shift and like move between those places. And then I have a good relationship with people like from like the LVAC stuff down in Pennsylvania, and then Grind out in Massachusetts. So we bring a bunch of those people in there. So we get to bring in a bunch of, you know, kind of fun, different faces for people. And that's like when you come to the show, like the Wild Zero portion of that is, you know, I'm bringing in like Anthony Green from he was on NOAH for a long time. He was on WWE for a little bit. And then Delmi was MLW champion for a little bit. So, like, we're bringing in, like, you know, other cool, fun people to hang out with.
Dude. Yeah, because it's, like, this is, like, in many ways. So, for, again, for anybody, for non-wrestling people at this point, like, there's the whole spectrum of scale. And it's something that we've talked a lot about as, like, a podcast network and the arts things that we're involved with. And I think the ethos that we've started to use, and I know it's become a little more common, people saying it, is community over competition, right? This community of putting on good shows, that's the goal. Mm-hmm. Training quality wrestlers, you know, and treating, you know, you know, helping train them into being both quality wrestlers, quality people, right? Because that's the other thing, you're getting a lot of younger guys,
yeah, absolutely,
who are learning to be adults, and you want your trainees to be adults, not to be kids, not to be hotheads. You want them to be adults and professionals.
Yeah.
Regardless of size or anything else, being a professional, that's something you can always stand by. You know, respecting the industry, respecting your competitors, respecting the promotions. Like, that's something that you can always have as part of your life, is being a pro. And people respect that.
And in wrestling, it's weird because it's like your job is to be around a bunch of people that you have to at least pretend to hate, which a lot of times you end up really hating them. And I'm not going to say that a lot of times, but there's people I cannot stand.
Yeah.
That I have to wrestle.
Yeah.
There's people I can't stand that I've had to, you know, to work shows with. You know, there's every aspect. There's managers, there's referees, just people that, like, you know, and I get it. Like, I know, like, I'm not the easiest one for everyone to like either, but
nope.
But But I try my hardest to at least, like, you know, give them the courtesy. And, you know, when you're in life and norm, like, that's outside of life too. Like, I don't like anyone I ever deal with. So, but I have to pretend every day I do. So we try to get, you know, hopefully we can teach these kids to also pretend to like people. No, to also actually like people.
Well, and I think also, like, when you're bringing in people from other promotions, you don't think of the problems first. Yeah, you think about the people who are good to work with, that you know are going to be safe, and they're going to treat everybody with respect. You don't bring in the problems.
No. And that's the thing, is I tell it, like, people hit me up all the time trying to get booked. And I say, they send me all of these things, and I go, how'd you hear me? That's all I want to know. Who told you to hit me up? Like, yeah. I basically only book my friends or my friends' friends. I'm just lucky that my friends and my friends' friends are all really, really good.
I mean, that's what a great thing, though. Like, that's also how I've built my, how I built my relationships around Rochester, is by being present, by showing that I care hard.
Yep.
And that if my friends are doing cool things and they say I should know somebody, I don't have to think. Right. I just show up.
Yeah.
Because they say I should be friends with them, or I should know them, or I should help them. I've had people say, I need you to go help this person. I'm like, all right, when do I show up? All you have to do is ask, because I respect what you're doing.
And that's a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn, especially in wrestling, is like, you are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
Sure. And some people really kind of, you know, could kind of, like, you know, screw themselves over by, you know, or you just start following the wrong advice too. That's something I see happen a lot, is people, like, there's so much wrong advice, and there's such, like, a weird sphere surrounding wrestling that, like, people think this bad advice is the way to go. Like, you gotta, you know, you can't let people just, like, all this old, like, macho stuff, that it's just like, no, dude, just show up, be good at what you do. Yeah,
just be a good person.
And have fun.
Yeah, just be a good person.
And it's like, hey, I think that's a good way to really, like, wrap this up. So one, it's, hey, if this is something anybody that's listening is interested in, you know, pursuing, there are good schools. So Matt, where can people find, you know, information about Ground Zero if they want to train, if they want to watch the YouTube, if they want to come to shows?
Yeah, it's Ground Zero 585. You can find us pretty much across all social media platforms. Shoot us an email, groundzerowrestling585@gmail.com. We also have an open tryout coming out on September 22nd. So if you want to be a wrestler, come join us.
Very cool. And for Wild Zero.
So where does Wild Zero Wrestling, pretty much across the board? Good luck finding stuff, though, because I'm bad at putting it up. You got to look. It makes it cool. It's more elusive, like finding an old punk record. Like,
yeah.
So if you find it, it's cool.
Search it out. Find something interesting. And definitely go out to the Dunn and Marcos Cup, which is happening on both September 13th and 14th. This is a continuation. This is a whole show. So this is both days. You're continuing this story. You know, you're going to get a little cliffhanger the first night, and you're going to go into the second day and get something interesting. Go to both September 13th at 6, the 14th at 3. Get your tickets at rochesterfringe.com. Boys, anything I forgot? Anything else we need to add before we close out?
No, man. I think that's great. I appreciate you having us, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. Really enjoyed it, and hopefully I'll catch everybody out at the Dunn and Marcos Cup.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Be a problem with everything you do.
Yeah!
Hey, this is Paulie Guglielmo, and if you'd like to hear the behind-the-scenes stories of some of your favorite small businesses in Rochester, join me for one-on-one interviews with the entrepreneurs behind those businesses. It's the Paulie Guglielmo Show podcast, and it comes out every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Lunchador Podcast Network.
Hello, hello, folks. My name is Magnus. I am a host of The Mind of Magnus. It's a podcast where I focus on expanding my brain and bringing some awesome people along the way to help expand your brain. So I have some new seasons and some awesome new guests coming up this year. So join me. Send me some factoids if you have your own. I even have a call-in line. So check it out. Find me at mindofmagnus.com, wherever you get your Lunchador Podcast Network, which is everywhere.